Is it time yet? Start a minute early. Thank you, everyone, for coming. If it's okay with you, we're going to go through the formal part of this meeting. Of course, you can ask questions during it, but it's probably easier to get through the formal part, and then we'll have a presentation, and we'll answer all the questions you have. First off, thank you for coming. It's a full crowd. I understand we have a lot of Algoma people here who are now shareholders. Some of you are probably here for the first time, so welcome. Very happy to see you here for a whole pile of reasons. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the meeting will now please come to order. I shall ask Mr. Wes Noon to act as the secretary of the meeting. I hereby appoint Ms. Radha Mulchan Singh as of CST Trust Company, the corporation's register and transfer agent, to act as scrutineer of the meeting, to report on the number of shareholders present, and to compute the votes on any poll taken. Since all shareholders have received a copy of the notice, circular, and other documentation, I shall dispense with the reading of the notice of the meeting. May I have a seconder? Thank you. All those in favor? All opposed? Motion is carried. The secretary has confirmed to me that there is a quorum of shareholders present, and accordingly, I declare the meeting is properly constituted. The scrutineer has also advised me that the total number of votes by proxy required to be voted against matters to be brought before the meeting is less than 1% of all votes. I shall conduct all votes by a show of hands unless a shareholder or proxy holder demands a ballot. The minutes of the annual meeting of shareholders held May 3rd, 2014 are available and can be read by the secretary, unless there is a motion that the minutes be taken as read and approved. Thank you. May I have a seconder? Thank you. All those in favor? I should ask, is there any discussion? No? All those opposed? Motion is carried. In view of the fact that all shareholders have received a copy of the annual report and the auditor's report dated with the approval of the meeting, I am prepared to dispense with the reading of the auditor's report. May I have a seconder? Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion is carried. The financial statements for the 2013 and 14 fiscal years are included in the annual report and have now been received by this meeting. I shall now entertain a motion from the floor for the reappointment of the auditors for the next ensuing year. Thank you. May I have a seconder? Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. All those opposed? Motion is carried. The directors have passed a resolution fixing the number of directors at 7 for the ensuing year. I shall now call for nominations to fill the 7 positions on the board of directors for the ensuing year or until their successors are elected or appointed. If there are no further nominations, I hereby declare nominations closed. I direct the secretary to cast a single ballot for the election of those nominated. I hereby declare those nominated to be fully elected to hold office until the next annual meeting. As this concludes the formal part of the meeting, I would like to make a few remarks and introduce our new CEO, Ken Sorensen. But first, I would like to speak a little bit about our outgoing CEO, Greg White. As you know, on March 31st, Greg White retired after 35 years with the corporation, the last seven as president and chief executive officer. Greg provided exceptional leadership for the company during his tenure and set the foundation for the company's success for years to come with the fleet renewal program he championed. He has served shareholders well for the company. The company's stock has returned over 16% for the last 5 years. Over Greg's 35 years with the company, he has been an unrelenting advocate of the Great Lakes and has been instrumental to Algoma's rise as the dominant player in the Great Lakes, and he'll be greatly missed. I want to say on a personal level, for those of you that know Greg, Greg has very, very strong opinions, and there were many times where the board and myself clashed with Greg, and one thing I'd say to Greg's credit is he stuck to his guns, and in almost every instance that we disagreed, I think Greg eventually had his way, and I think in every single one of those instances, Greg was right. So don't change, Greg, and the debt that this company owes to you is impossible to express in these words. So I just want to thank you from all the shareholders for the great job you did, and whatever you do for the next couple decades, I feel sorry for anyone that gets in your way. On April 1st, Ken Sorensen assumed the role of President and Chief Executive Officer. I'm going to go briefly over your resume. I think most of you know it. It's available, and I'm probably not going to read the entire thing because he's done. In fact, I'm just going to say Ken has had a great experience internationally. He worked for a long time at Maersk, which is a fantastic Danish shipping company that I think most of us know about. He's had experience in Asia, Germany, the Middle East. He's done everything, including railways. We could have used you 15 years ago when we still had one. Container ships, bulk, you name it. He comes with great credentials. I think everyone that knows him would agree that he's a fantastic and capable CEO, and we're looking forward to the next. Well, I'll let you fill in the blank for how many years, but I hope it's a long time. You know, when you go off script, it's kind of hard to find out where you are. Do we have, I think what I'll do now is take a motion to terminate the meeting and then go straight into question periods. Does anyone have any problem with that? In that case, unless I'm not missing any business that needs to be done?
I think you're in the clear.
Great. Thank you. Can I have a motion to terminate? Thank you very much. I'll take questions. They can be for me. Much more likely that they'll be for Ken. Or Wes, actually, I am off script. You are going to make a presentation now. Is that not correct? I'd like to turn it over to our new CEO, Ken, after which we'd be happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, and thanks for allowing me to stand up in front of all of you. And I'm happy that the meeting is over and that I got through my first AGM. I have to admit that I'm humbled by standing here. I've been in the job for 31 days now. And listening to all the good words and having been able to meet all the great people that Greg is leaving behind after 35 years. So you also have to bear with me if I make a few mistakes as we go along in this presentation. I have to admit also that I'm happy that Peter is with me today because he's going to take you through some of the harder work, i.e. the numbers. We've been through them the last couple of days, so I guess I kind of know most of them, but it's nice to have you by my side. So. Before I start, I just need to get this in my hand, and I hope I don't, I'm not going to use bad words here, but I hope it works. Let me put it that way. It did work. 2013 ended for Algoma on a high, I would say. We had significant backlogs going into 2014, and we were very, very hopeful that 2014, particularly the winter, would be gentler. The fact is that we had an early, or I would say a reasonably soft start to the winter, but the fact is that we ended up very quickly with a lot of ice, particularly going into the later part. As you can see here, and what I wanted to say before you get too carried away here. You're only going to see pictures from me. And I was told by a wise man once that a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I'll not say a lot, but I'll let some of the pictures speak for it. This, I guess, will show you how difficult the conditions are. We all talk about ice, but I don't think, well, I see, and I'm happy to see a lot of employees also, but it's tough out there when
it is. Exactly?
This is actually a good question. It's in Anticoke, but I'm not sure where that is. So.
Thank you.
Where? Okay, I'll never forget that. let me just move one more here. Another icebreaker, but essentially just trying to figure to everyone here that the conditions that we faced also in the early part of the year were quite difficult. And as I will get to in a minute, the start of this one was not much easier, I have to say. We got started, and this is a picture of the Montréalais, and I tried to ask people, how do you pronounce a Montréalais? Because I've also heard people say Montrealis, but I don't think that's right. It's probably Montréalais. This ship is an old ship. In fact, it is the last steamer on the Canadian side of the lakes, and she has now been retired. The reason why we're showing her is because we had very strong demand going through the year of 2014 and had to keep two ships going that we would normally have or had planned to retire. She is now retired, I would say there's nothing much to say. I think a lot of people here in the room will probably have followed her for many years and see sad that she has to go. It's a result of our development in the business, I guess. If we move on, this is a beautiful picture of the Harvester. She joined the fleet in May of last year. She had just finished her voyage from China, 2 months voyage from China, and she loaded her first cargo of iron and ore in Port Cache, and moved on from there to Thunder Bay to pick up some grain. This, of course, marks an important milestone in the development of Algoma, and as you all know, I'll get back to that in a second, this is, and also as alluded to by the chairman, this is one of the most important, if not the most important project that we have taken on for years. And she and her sisters represent, we believe, and I hope I'm not offending anyone here, but sure, I'm not. But the fact is that we feel that those are the best ships on the lakes at this point. They are representing the state of the art when it comes to environmental protection. They are more efficient. They are faster. They are bigger than the ones that we have been using so far. So thank you also to the team who's actually been helping developing those ships. We also took delivery of the CW Marquis, and I say we, that's of course an overstatement. This vessel belongs to the Wheat Board, or the Canadian Wheat Board, but it is managed by Algoma, so we feel that she is somehow belonging to our family. She is operating in what we consider a pool in the domestic business. She is like the Harvester, also going to be carrying both grain and iron ore. I alluded earlier to, and this for the people who, and actually I've never seen one either, so not in, in, I've seen the picture obviously. This is a scrubber. And for people who don't know what a scrubber is, it is the machine or the construct that ensures that our emissions are reduced of SOx and NOx, as we call it. 97% of SOx and NOx emissions will be reduced from this construct. They will be installed on all our new ships, And we are, in that sense, a step ahead of most of the industry when it comes to emissions. And as I said earlier, and I want to repeat that so nobody forgets it, it makes her the most environmentally friendly vessel currently trading on the lakes with the two sisters. I have to regrettably show you a picture of unfinished ships. It is, here we see the CW, and I forgot the name, of course. We've just talked about it for an hour. So, the Strongfield, yes, thank you very much. The Strongfield, she will be delivered to us a couple of months later than we had anticipated. And the reason for that is, as some of you may have been able to follow either in the press or also from earlier announcements from us, the shipyard has regrettably faced some financial trouble, and they are being going into a restructuring process right now, and that has delayed the work that we see in the shipyard. We are getting to see the Strongfield in our fleet towards the end of the summer, as we said, regrettably a couple of months late. And then we will have our second, or the first on silver loader in probably around the end of September, October, most likely for entering into trade here in November. So several months delays as well on that. We keep a very strong focus on that. It's, as I said earlier, one of our biggest projects and some that will require a lot of attention from us in the coming months. If I just may move quickly, you will see here a loading of grain, and it is just to underscore that 2014 was a very strong season, helped also not only but certainly by the record crop that we had on agricultural products. And as such, we benefited from that, not only us, but certainly a lot of operators on the Great Lakes. These are two of our tankers, the Algoma Hansa, and I can't see from here what that is, but let's face it, it's here because we wanted to talk about the Hansa. Our tanker fleet did quite well also in 2014. We were almost at a record year. Had it not been for a fire on board one of our vessels, we would probably have been able to underline or underscore a record year for the tankers. The Hansa, signified here or pictured here, has joined our tank carrier fleet. She will not be trading on the lake. She will be trading mostly on the East Coast. She's simply too big to get into to the system. So we're back to the ice. Usually we don't see that much ice for our international ships, but in this we actually did see that this year. This is one of our international vessels, and it's Henry Jackman, I believe it's called. Yeah, and she is she has been operating in the pool. We regrettably saw a slight reduction in the pool results for last year, partly because of our retirement of one ship in the pool. But I would say that we are hopeful for the coming year. It has to be said, though, for the international side of the business, and that some of you may follow internationally, the dry bulk markets have collapsed, at least. And that's not my words necessarily, that's what other people tend to refer to when they talk about the dry bulk market. And with a collapse in dry bulk rates into the level that we're seeing right now, it's very likely that we'll see a further pressure on pool rates, even though we are what I call a niche player in self-unloader pool. There are bulk ships out there with gear that could potentially compete with us in a market that in the general market generates such low rates. So we will see that probably also going into this year. I want to shift gears a little bit, and here's a picture, and this is Tom's team who supplied that, signifying the investments that we've been doing over a period of time to our real estate portfolio, particularly Station Mall. And we are investing about $22 million in that project. Most of it has been done. I think the roof will be getting done over the summer, and then we should be done with that. It is fair to say that investment is paying off. Our occupancy rate in the Station Mall is going up. So small anecdote here. We were, and this is one of the highlights of the of that, we managed to capture H&M, Hens and Maurits, difficult to see maybe, but that's actually the picture here, into the mall. And for the first time in a long time, I guess, there was a queue of 200 people outside the shop, which I'm told doesn't happen very often in Sault Ste. Marie. So credit to you, to the team for doing that. Let's shift gears to this year. As I said earlier, we had hoped for a slightly better beginning to the winter. And I know I did talk a little bit about it earlier. I think I missed the point that this year, I was talking about the winter 2015, actually, earlier. So we've had a reasonably easy start to the winter, but then March certainly took off and created a lot more ice than we had all hoped for. We had a delay in the opening of the Seaway. Let me just see here. What is that? Oh, bear with me. I was one too quick here. Sorry about that. We had a week's delay on the opening of the Seaway, but we had, and the good news is, since we had a pretty easy start to the first quarter, the first part of the year, the first quarter still came out stronger than we had planned. Whole of 2015, I know we have to be very careful, particularly when we talk about future. But it seems that, based on our current order book, that 2015 will be a good year for Algoma, barring any major incidents. But our book of business is certainly locked in. Most of the contracts have been signed and are in the book, so to speak. The year usually, or the winter, is usually used to repair ships. But what we did do is, over the winter, we also, thanks to an opportunity that opened up, we have opened, or rather we have added to our international fleet. The Algoma Integrity is a ship that we recently took over. In fact, she left Las Palmas last week, and she is on her way now. We didn't paint her, as you can see, because that's expensive. We just changed the name, so now she's called Algoma Integrity. The name earlier was Gypsum Integrity. She's 6 years old, in good shape, and since the sellers were eager to exit their part of the business, we believe that we got a very good deal on her. She will be entering. She's actually bought to enter into our international pool, but she will have a short 2 years in our trade in Canada, mostly on the East Coast, where she will be suited for our business in the St. Lawrence Gulf. Let me just move on here. And this is a picture of our two elder ships, I'll call them old ships, the Algo Way and the Algo Rail. In fact, they are over 40 years old. And I don't want to say they're still going strong, but they are certainly still trading. We have been able and are managing to keep them going for another couple of years. The replacements for those were announced last week last week, that we are going to replace that with two new buildings. We have signed a contract, still conditional on the yard being able to provide us with refund guarantees, but we expect that will happen very soon. Design work has started. We have our employees on the ground already. That contract will give us two new ships to replace those ladies in 2017. And I don't want to say all going well, but we expect that that certainly will be the case. So, and just to round that off, that shipyard contract has not been placed in China. It has been placed in Croatia. And both the chairman and I had, with the team, an opportunity to visit the yard in February. And we felt very, very confident that they will be able to deliver some excellent ships to us. I will now hand over happily to Peter. And I apologize again for some of the mistakes that I made on the way, but bear with me, I'm relatively new in this, but I will look forward to working with all of you. And I want to just take this opportunity to thank our staff for the fantastic efforts that they've put in this year and also in the preceding years. And I hope that we will see that going forward. And thank you to the board and to the shareholders as well for showing up. Thank you very much. Peter?
Thanks, Ken. So I'm going to briefly take all of that.
Sorry, just in case questions come.
So I'm going to do a brief overview of the 2014 results. I'm also going to touch on the 2015 Q1 results. As is normally the case, we issued our press release with the Q1 results just before this meeting. And we will issue, for those of you that love the detail, we will be issuing the SEDAR filings on Monday. You can read this at your leisure. This is our usual forward-looking statements. All this says really is that there may be forward-looking information that we can't guarantee is going to transpire exactly as we might talk about it here. So 2013, as Ken said, it closed pretty quickly for us. December, the weather came in heavy and hard, and that set us up pretty well, we thought, for 2014. But then the winter stayed long, was deeper than certainly anybody in the business recalls having experienced before, and so we started standing here this time last year. We were looking outside at spring weather, but it certainly wasn't anything that our crews on the ships were experiencing. That rather dark picture that showed a series of ships going through the ice was actually Lake Superior at about this time last year. Despite that, we had a pretty good year. Revenues were up overall 2.6%, and really returned to sort of that growing trend. One thing I would point out is that our reported revenues are heavily affected by fuel prices. We pass our fuel cost along to our customers. So when you look at a year like 2011, when fuel prices were much higher than they were right now, there's a big component of that is fuel price. It doesn't actually translate into operating income for us. So there's some noise in our numbers. But the 2014 numbers compared to 2013 gives you a good sense of what the actual improvement in the year was. Domestic dry bulk, as you probably are aware, is our predominant business. It accounts for about two-thirds of our revenues. And in fact, last year it was a little bit higher percentage of our overall revenues than it historically is. And that was largely due to the grain traffic that Ken alluded to, as well as iron and steel. Revenues were up in domestic dry bulk, as well as in ocean dry bulk and real estate, and they were down slightly in product tankers, and the driving factor there being obviously some customer demand, but we were affected by an out-of-service period at the beginning of 2014 due to a fire on one of the tankers. Domestic dry bulk revenues were up 4% overall, reflecting strong demand domestically and good volumes in all business segments. In fact, operating days, which is another measure of our overall operating activity, were up 7.6% compared to 2013. And as I said, iron and steel and agriculture were the main drivers there. Product tankers were a little bit lower, and we did have volume that was carried on some chartered capacity because of the fire. The real estate increase here reflects the growth in occupancy, so the investment that we've been making into improving our properties is beginning to show up in improved occupancy. And ocean dry bulk, despite the fact that our share of the pool has been diminished somewhat by the retirement of ships, ocean dry bulk revenues were up slightly. The ocean dry bulk business is a U.S. dollar-based business, so the weakness recently in the Canadian dollars has been positive for us in our reported numbers. Our mix of businesses, our iron and steel customers are our most significant business overall. The other two particularly significant ones in terms of volumes are construction materials. Those are largely aggregates, as well as salt. We do actually love a cold, icy winter. It's good for our salt customers and therefore for our salt shipments. And that gives you a sense of where the occupancy ratio for the real estate portfolio has gone over the course of the last 2 years. It dipped initially as we closed out some space to make way for some of the new tenants like H&M, and then grew over the course of 2014 as we filled that space in Station Mall as well as a couple of other properties. Within the ocean segment, our main businesses there are power generation, so coal, as well as aggregates. EBITDA, which is a measure of the cash flow generation of the businesses, was up strongly over the prior year, about 5%. Again, there's a fairly significant component that is the domestic dry bulk business, which grew over 13% last year, as well as growth in real estate. As a segment split, domestic dry bulk is not quite as large a contributor to our EBITDA as it is to our revenues, being slightly under half as opposed to two-thirds on the revenue side. Earnings per share last year, we reported $1.36. However, included in that number is a large accounting adjustment related to the movement of the Hansa from the international pool to the domestic fleet. I've taken that out in these numbers here, so our core earnings were $1.17. So that compares apples to apples to the $1.08 last year. One of our sources of pride is the strength of the Algoma balance sheet. We've got a fair amount of cash right now. We actually wish we had a lot less cash right now, because if we had a lot less cash right now, it would mean those Equinox ships had been delivered when we originally anticipated them to be. However, what it does mean is that we are well positioned for things like the Algoma Integrity purchase that we announced last week, as well as signing the additional fleet renewal contracts. We don't have a lot of funny assets on our balance sheet. As you can see, a significant portion of it is the fixed assets of our vessels and our real estate portfolio, as well as our cash. Equally important, or maybe even a little bit more important from a flexibility standpoint, is the other side of our balance sheet. We have a comparatively low debt to total capital percentage of 29%, and that's actually gross debt, so it doesn't count the fact that in actual fact today we have more cash on our balance sheet than we do debt. But the ability of the company to take advantage of opportunities that arise is really spelled out in the kind of ratio you see here on a debt to total capital. As we've said in the past, our primary metric for assessing the performance of the business is adjusted return on capital employed. That's a measure of after-tax earnings divided by the capital invested in the business. We adjust the capital for the cash balance, so this is an operating measure of ROCE. Our target range is 10 to 12%, and we use that as a hurdle rate in any investment decisions that we make. And over the course of the past 4 years, we've been comfortably within that range. In fact, the average over that five-year period is about 10.6%, so we were slightly above the average last year. And if you go back to 2010, we were really looking at the tail end of the financial crisis and the following the recession that followed on from that in terms of the return that year. And yet, despite that and a significant downturn in economic activity in North America, we still generated a positive return. And of course, all of that combined, the good operating results, the solid cash flows, the healthy balance sheet, means we continue to pay our dividend. So we paid a 28-cent dividend last year. That was the second year that we've paid at that level. And we've continued for the first two quarters of 2015 at the same 7 cents per quarter, so 28 cent annualized rate. And I think our shareholders have been relatively appreciative. So over the last 10 years, we've had a strong overall return at 9.9%. Total shareholders' returns is a measure of the accumulated effect of dividends paid as well as share price appreciation. Over that 10 years, we've grown at a rate that's about 200 basis points, more than 200 basis points better than the overall TSX. Again, you sort of look at the 2008 to 2009 period where there was a pretty significant impact on the company from the recession. However, we came back quite strongly in 2011, 2012, and have continued that. Now, as a share price matter, 2014, the share price adjustment the share price was pretty much flat. After 4 or 5 years of strong run-up, I'm not surprised that it consolidated a little, but it has increased since the year end. So turning quickly to the first quarter, as Ken mentioned, we started the quarter. The winter was considerably less severe than it was last year. We had more operating days in January and February. We were well ahead of our plan. We had planned relatively conservative for the quarter, but it rapidly came to a halt in late February when the ice levels went way up and activity in March dropped substantially. Despite that, we managed to produce revenues that were fairly similar to last year, but there's some differences on a business unit to business unit basis that I'm going to talk about in a minute. And the loss per share, if you recall, we generally report a loss in Q1. Actually, probably say we always report a loss in Q1 because that's when we spend all of our maintenance money on the domestic dry bulk fleet. So combined with the lack of activity from the canal system being closed and the spending that we do on maintenance during that period, our Q1 results are in a loss, and then we make that back and then some in the balance of the year. So on the domestic dry bulk business, a substantial increase in the number of days, both compared to plan as well as compared to last year. So a substantial increase in revenue for the quarter compared to last year, and a slightly smaller operating loss from the segment as a result. Our activity in the winter quarter is, generally speaking, a little less profitable than it is in the balance of the year. So you don't see all of that increase in income falling immediately to the bottom line. But it does have an impact on the loss and reduce the loss accordingly. Salt business was particularly strong over the course of the winter, as well as iron and steel. And, of course, as I said before, we like a nice icy winter, so we expect the salt business to be strong throughout most of the year. The Seaway delayed opening 1 week, and we have taken a slightly more measured approach to fitting out vessels. That doesn't tend to have that much of an impact on Q1 because really the Seaway opens right at the end of March in any event. However, it does sort of forebode a relatively softer April than is historically the case, although again compared to last year when we were taking 20 plus days to get from Port Coburn to Thunder Bay, it should be a little bit better than last year. Product tankers, the main driver here, the revenues were a little bit softer overall. However, because of the Algonova fire last year, a big chunk of that revenue was actually delivered on somebody else's ship, and we don't make a lot of money when we do our work on somebody else's ship. So in fact, although the revenues are down, the segment operating income is up. Unlike the domestic dry bulk business, we don't lay up the tankers over the course of the winter, so we don't have this sort of concentrated spend of layup at that period of time either. So our product tanker business is typically profitable in every quarter. We do have a significant, therefore, increase in the number of days on our own ships because of the Nova being in service for all of this year, whereas it was essentially out of service for all of last year. Ken mentioned the retirement of the Algo East. That ship was replaced by the Algoma Hansa, so that was on a ship's basis, it was kind of a one-for-one. However, the Hans is actually a bigger ship as well as a newer ship, so a positive contributor overall. On the pool side, we operate through the pool in two ways. We have two ships that are directly owned 100% in the pool and two ships that we own 50% interest in. One of our own ships was in dry dock for most of the first quarter, so that has a big impact on our share of pool revenues. It also has an impact on our operating income for the quarter. We don't generate revenue, obviously, when the ship is on dry dock, and we also incur some expense. And so the impact that you see here is essentially entirely from that one ship, the Bahama Spirit, being on dry dock for that time. We are seeing some pressure on the pool earnings, so there is some impact from that as well, but the predominant impact here is from the Bahama Spirit. And then finally, real estate, it's continued its growth that we saw over the course of last year as the occupancy ramped up over the course of last year. We're now starting to see that annualized impact when we look quarter to quarter to the prior period. So many of those leases that we filled last year were filled in the last 6 months, and so we're now seeing, for instance, H&M, which opened in the mall in September, we're seeing the full impact of those spaces having been filled in Q1 of this year. So strong revenue growth, about 10% on the mall, and a corresponding increase in segment earnings. So that's it. So I'll turn it back to the chair.
Okay, everybody. Are there any questions? You can ask them to me, and I'll probably pass them off to one of these gentlemen or Wayne. Yes.
Why is Algoma in the real estate business in the first place?
That's a good question. In the first place, we had a coal dock in Sault Ste. Marie that was of no use when the steel mill went bankrupt, and we suddenly had a great piece of real estate in downtown Sault Ste. Marie, and we decided to develop it. And then over the course of the 80s and much of the 90s, the economics of shipbuilding were very difficult, and it actually made more sense to put the capital into real estate because, as you know, there was a duty on the ships and the returns were very low. It also provided sort of a ballast to the financial statements because you had an income stream that was all year. When you look at the returns on real estate, you have to take into account that the way we account for them, the increase in value in the real estate is not captured in the financial statements. I don't believe they are they? No. But it is, we've had it for historical reasons. I guess we've always felt comfortable with capital-intensive projects, and in fact, there's lots of similarities between boats and real estate. You have long-term contracts that you put next to something that costs a heck of a lot of money, and you have long, stable returns. So we're pretty happy with it, but that's sort of the short, actually, it wasn't that short. That's the answer to that question.
Selling it, just getting out of it altogether?
Well, it's every line of business we assess the merits of on a yearly basis, and you know, I guess we assess that as well as we assess the others. Yes.
Thanks. My name is Russ Brook, and I'm a shareholder. And you talked about your strong cash position and its opportunity to let you seek out other great opportunities. So what kinds of things would you be looking to invest that cash in? Where do you see the opportunities going forward?
Ken, is your microphone on there?
No, I don't think so. It is, actually. It is on. Let me just get closer to that. First of all, and again, the good news is that I can claim ignorance after 30 days in the job. But the way I look at it is there's opportunities. If you look at our current portfolio, you have opportunities in all sectors of that portfolio. I think it's important that we continue our new building program that we have to continue to upgrade the fleet for obvious reasons. If you compare the, let's say, an incumbent in our fleet with one of our new ships, we have, I would say, opportunities at least, or the numbers show us that we will be able to save up to 40% in operating cost just on that. So it makes sense to do that. We have opportunities to grow in our international business that we do today. As Peter said, if we take one ship out of the pool, it reduces our income significantly. We believe that international pool has a strong future given the recovery of the U.S. economy, which has been the strongest driver inside the pool today, or to date. We see that pool possibly also having some international ambitions outside the current market purview, and we're discussing that with the pool partners. And then I wouldn't rule out that if you look at shipping in general, particularly outside our markets, our core markets, as I said earlier, I alluded to it, there has been a collapse in some of these markets. Some have recovered, some have not recovered yet. And very often that also opens up for opportunities without being specific about it. But it is our job and our duty to look at that. We are And we have a very strong platform in shipping. We know how to operate. We know how to evaluate ships. And we know how to select the right items. So if something does come along, then we'll certainly strike. I think the very quick decision on the Algoma Integrity is a good example of that. And as opportunities present themselves, we'll certainly be out there looking. So I can't be more specific than that, but other things are certainly being reviewed as we speak. Does that answer your question?
Are there other questions? I would say that of all the boats we have, theoretically, all of them will be replaced eventually. And the cash flow characteristics of this business, we can probably fund at this point most of those internally.
Yes.
But that's well over a dozen new ships just to replace the old fleet that we have, and we'll probably be doing that over the next decade or so. And there's lots of opportunities internationally. I mean, I think Greg has done such a good job that we're looking for other places. I mean, I think the strategy that we've got in the Great Lakes, we just continue to execute that strategy. And we're in a dominant position, and we just anticipate becoming more dominant, and that just is going to require replacing the fleet. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Can the Equinox class of ship operate on the ocean?
It is not built to operate on the ocean. So, I mean, I guess the short answer is no. We had to put reinforcement on it to get it from China to Canada. And that reinforcement is now sitting on a dry dock somewhere, I assume.
Sold to a scrapyard.
So sold to a scrapyard. So the short answer is no. That's correct, isn't it?
But I think it just to add to what the chairman correctly states, I think the experience that we have gained in this project and a lot of the enhancements that we have done to the ships are general, I would say. Yes, we've optimized it for operation on the lake, but I think a lot of, if you look at the engine, if you look at some of the enhancers that we have for ecological operation, I think a lot of that can be reused and done also to international ships.
Okay. I'm sure this is going to be a tough question, so I'm going to pass it on. Okay, go.
Ken, you mentioned, perhaps in passing, a 40% OPEX improvement with the Equinox relative to the older part of the fleet.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you or someone could flesh that out for me. So particularly, for instance, when you have the scrubbers, you can drop back to bunker, right, and still be compliant, and they're more fuel efficient. But as you also noted, fuel is basically traditionally a pass-through to the customers on the ships. So what I'm trying to understand is how much of that OPEX improvement are you and we as shareholders likely to actually retain?
And I stand corrected again, and I think Al may want to jump in, or Wayne for that matter, the two main characters in the project. I think some of it is savings and some of it is optimization. Don't forget that this ship will take about 20 or 25% more cargo on the same size or inside the same dimensions. So the ship has a lot of the savings or the efficiency gains. They're not savings, they're efficiency gains, and so I stand corrected on that. A lot of that is commercial, i.e. bigger revenues with the same amount of steel, so to speak. And then you have cost savings on the number of crew on board, because it's a more modern vessel, and as such, we are able to operate it safely with lesser amount of people on board. And then on top of that, you have the savings on consumables on board. You have lower consumption of lube oil, typically. And the way that they've been constructed, we will also have lower maintenance costs even as the ship gets older. So that in totality will gain us something. On the fuel, you're right. As long as the ship is employed, we don't pay for fuel. But as long when she's idle, and that happens regrettably, then we will get the savings from the lower fuel consumption. But it's also a requirement from our clients going forward. I mean, we cannot continue to pass on the bill without looking ourselves in the mirror and say, guys, what are we going to do about this? So even though we don't get it, I think if you don't have it going forward, since our largest competitor is already in the spiel on this one, we'll be forced to doing that going forward. So it's a combination of many factors, but it all adds up quite rapidly. And I have to say the biggest, one of the biggest ones, of course, the count is the efficiency, the more cargo with lesser or with the same amount of steel. So. Al, if you want, or anyone else, if you want to add to that, I'm sure I overlooked something significant, but if not, then...
Yeah, and I would also say the dynamics in the market right now and for the past couple of decades is such that we can't. It's very hard to be a price leader and certainly not a price setter, and the market and supply and demand at any given point in time is going to dictate how much the client gets of that 40%. I guess we could get more than 40% or less than 40%, depending on what our competitors bid for the same, but... 40% is there. How it gets divided up is, we'll see. Yes?
Water levels, would you just say a few words about the trend on the Great Lakes?
That is not one of my expertise. Do you want to take that?
Neither mine, actually, but I don't know, honestly.
Yeah, so I guess quickly. So two years ago, everybody was talking about water levels being at historic lows. Nothing like a couple of really severe winters to change that around. So the combination of heavy precipitation, the ice coverage, which limits evaporation, in 2014 really reversed the trend. So I don't think anybody feels confident in a long-term prediction of where that's going to go, but certainly water levels are back up to historic levels and even higher. So the issue of water level is not one that's sort of a primary concern as an operating matter right now.
Thank you.
Right. It tends to offset, or to some degree offsets, the heavy ice component. When you get in here, you tend to get more water out. And whether it's a wash or, you haven't asked that question. Yep. Any other questions? I would say that anyone here is, did you have another one?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to follow up on the question about the cash balance, and I think, there's a fair amount of CapEx, capital expenditures coming through on the ships, et cetera. And I confess to, as a shareholder, having a hard time keeping track of what's likely coming down the pike with all these delays in the ship buildings, changing over from China to Croatia, buying integrity, et cetera, et cetera. Could you give us a rundown of what the CapEx is likely to be like this year and 2016, 2017, to the extent that you know it, based on when you expect these ships to come in?
Yeah, and that's actually probably the biggest single factor is the timing on the delivery of our ships. So what we're currently expecting in terms of delivered ships in 2015 will be the Integrity, which we've already taken delivery of, and the conveyor, which we're expecting to be delivered later on in the year, are, because of the financial situation at the shipyard in China, our current obligation to them is to pay for ships on delivery. So whereas the original contracts included installment payments, and in fact up until 2012 we were making installment payments, that has shifted so that we now have basically bullet requirements at the end of those contracts. So our CapEx expectation, over the balance of 2015 is probably similar to what it was last year. It's really just the delivery payment on the conveyor, plus the cost of the Integrity and some initial installments on the new 650s, assuming that the shipyard delivers the RG, which we fully expect them to do. And then 2016, if things go according to Hoyle, we've got three more Equinox ships as well as installments on the 650. So with the cash balance that's there now, we actually have more cash on the balance sheet today than we would plan to spend over the next 2 years on CapEx alone.
Okay, then I'd like to invite everyone back. I assume, as usual, there's lunch and an open bar on the side of this curtain, and you can feel free to... pepper any of these gentlemen with questions while they're eating. So I think I already terminated this meeting, so I guess I'll just say please come join us for lunch. Thank you all.